This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we are joined by friend of the show and from CBS Sports. You watch him on TV all the time. He is Jason Lockham. Hi, Jace. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
We got a couple little things going on here in Cleveland. There are two ways I want to go. First, let me start with you, Jackson. And taking the job in Cincinnati. Your thoughts on that and how that will play out?
Least surprising thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he gets to face two teams in three games that he knows well. Remember, he used to work for the Ravens as well, so he gets them this week and then the Browns twice. So, and obviously after his media tour, he's got all his trolling out of the way, so now he can try to go out there and beat the Browns. And, you know, he's tight with Marvin. We talked about in the past when you guys asked me what future I thought he'd have. I said, look, I mean, he's coached offense for him. He's coached position groups for Marvin. He's coached defense for Marvin. He's been an offensive coordinator for Marvin. And they just fired their defensive coordinator and they're hemorrhaging yards at an alarming rate. So, no, I'm not surprised in the least. But the Bengals are, you know, 1-3 in their last four and falling apart at the seams. And one wonders if that continues, if that might be enough for Mike Brown to make a coaching change. And if he does, you know, does Marvin end up somewhere? Does that remain Hugh's lifeline? Is there another staff that would take you as a quarterback coach or OC or whatever? Who knows? But, yeah, the moment that they got, you know, destroyed by the Saints and then Marvin was basically, you know, wink, wink, I'm about to hire Hugh in his press conference after that game, it's been no secret.
If Marvin doesn't last there, is Hugh still a favorite of Mike Brown? Would he possibly still hire Hugh after what he saw?
Maybe he would interview him. I don't know. Mike Brown is a thing. Like, there's a few, like Al Davis, you know, good luck figuring him out back in the day. You know, our buddy Jerry Jones, good luck. You know, he could do whatever he wants. You know, you guys there with the Haslams, you know, they tend to do what they want, and I'd put Mike Brown in that category as well. What the sort of prevailing thought or norms might be don't always apply there. But they do, you know, he's very loyal. He likes to hire people he knows. They like to hire within the Bengals family, people who, you know, played there or coached there previously. So it'll be, you know, it would be interesting. They haven't had a coaching search in so long, you know, and back in the day, and even still now to this day, they don't really generally want to pay as much as other teams, and the infrastructure is limited, and your budget for your staff and scouts has tended to be less than in some other places. So it's a very interesting time for the Bengals. I mean, I started breaking on their roster last night. I mean, if they did go in a different direction, you could start a reboot real quick, trading Andy Dalton and trading Geno Atkins and loading up on picks and, you know, maybe trying to do it another way. With, not that Dalton's contract is obese or out of control by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, maybe you don't want to have a quarterback making $17 million a year.
Jace, does Greg Williams have any shot of getting this job next year?
I mean, like I've been telling you guys, he's very capable of what he does. He knows how to connect to owners. He knows how to project a message and an image. And he knows how to get his guys to play like crazy on the defensive side of the ball. I can't imagine he's not a part of the equation. Does it prevail in the end? Who's going to interview? Who's not going to interview? How attractive will the job be? Will Dorsey be able to convey this message that I'm really in charge here? Or through the interview process, are people going to come away saying, I'm not willing to jump in the deep end with those guys, even with Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward and Chubb and Garrett. It's very difficult to say, but I do believe he will get a sincere opportunity to be a part of that process. Where does it go? And, you know, is Lincoln Riley in? And is, you know, Mike McCarthy in? And whoever else? That part is just, it's very difficult to handicap the field right now.
Jason Lockham for joining us, CBS Sports. Jason, why do I feel that the Haslams actually did Hugh Jackson a big favor when they also fired Todd Haley, because it makes it look like Todd was the thing that was really wrong here. And I think a lot of folks have interpreted it that way.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it helps Hugh. I think Hugh, but then Hugh going out and doing the media thing, he's his own worst enemy. So I have trouble seeing a lot of teams wanting Hugh in a forward-facing role where he's going to be dealing with the media on at least a weekly basis. I just don't know if that makes sense for a lot of people. But it only takes one. I think it kind of makes Haley a bit of a scapegoat for the overarching problems that were there. And I think that's the Haslams, and that's how they roll. And that's why people continue to kind of sit back and say, let's see the proof in the pudding. You know what I mean? Let's mm-hmm. see something done that isn't backwards or convoluted or hard to understand or bizarre. You know, I mean, when you brought Todd Haley in, you knew what you were getting. And Hugh Jackson was going to have a tremendously hard time managing his ego and his insecurities had you brought in somebody from a high school team to run that offense. You know what I mean? Much less somebody who's been a former head coach, you know, been a coordinator for a long time, was just part of the Steelers offense that was high octane. So, and the personality is on top of that. So, I mean, who knows? You know, I kind of had this eureka moment, like on the train going up to New York this week, just kind of thinking about different stuff. Maybe it was the ultimate Machiavellian plot of all time. If you're John Dorsey and you know that your hands are tied and they're making you keep this coach who's unfit for the job and not up for it and who you would have let go the moment you got the job if you could have, then maybe what you do is, well, if I go get Todd Haley, this thing's going to blow up to the point where they have to fire Hugh Jackson. You know what I mean? Because nothing reasonable to that point could have gotten him fired. You know what I mean? Like, we're beyond reason. We're into uncharted territory in terms of this affinity, alliance, love is the word they used for Hugh and his wife when they dressed there, when they finally let him go. I mean, even in letting him go, they didn't really put much of the blame on Hugh or even themselves. It was the media and, you know, all the people trying to tear us apart. It's like, bro, he won 3 games. Like, it wasn't like we made a mistake or, boy, if we had just listened to everybody else in the building who said Sean McDermott and followed our own model and our own process, maybe we wouldn't have gotten this mess in the first place, and we promised not to do it again. It was more about don't trust the media. Like, how's that working out for the president? I mean, it is what it is. So, yeah, maybe it would have taken somebody seeing into the future and saying, let me get these two guys who I know will be combustible, and it'll be so bad they'll have to finally hire the coach, because he'll come out in front of the media and say something so over the top, and he'll lose his stuff because he can't get his hands on the baby anymore, and I'll finally get everything out of here, and I can go hire my coach.
Hmm. All right, are your credentials still good in Berea? I just want to make sure.
We'll find out.
Hopefully you don't get revoked on that. All right, let me ask you this one. Do you believe, or, and I know you wrote about this over the weekend, but why do you believe Dorsey won't have the final say in the coaching search?
Saying that everything to this point, that what big decision has not been made by the Haslams? Even medium decision. They just, how many months ago did they hire Dorsey and tell him you have to keep the coach? That's 1,000,000% them. John Dorsey didn't say, oh, I really want your job, but please make me keep Hugh Jackson. These are their parameters. These are their searches. These are their end results. These are their decisions. And it's the same people involved. Maybe it will change, but where is the evidence? And again, at some point, I guess it has to, but I have a hard time thinking it's now, like, because it's so close, right? And we've got all these pieces here. So now that the roster is legit and you could make the case that A-list people will come to you versus you have to sell them, am I really going to believe that now this is when they all jump out of the process and it's not 5 people involved like in the past? You know, it's not D and Jimmy and D Podesta. And, you know, I don't know if Shiner was in on one of these or, you know, you got another analytics guy on top of that, plus Sashi. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe it will just be John Dorsey, and he'll bring them a couple names, and he'll say, this is the guy I really want to hire, and they'll rubber stamp it, and they'll say, he reports to you, and we're out of the way, and football operations stops with you. Maybe. But what do you guys think? Based on, you live there. I mean, am I crazy to sit back and keep reporting things out and say,
nope,
I can't.
Everything has always gone that way, but maybe it'll be a 180 now. Now that they have Baker, maybe they'll completely get out of the way now that they finally have these pieces.
I can't see it.
We're hopeful.
Boy, we're so close. All we need is the coach, and boy, it's got to be our guy.
Jason, you're in Baltimore. You have a much better feel for the Ravens than we do and much more familiarity with John Harbaugh, who I think is a terrific head coach. And I know they've had some issues there, and it hasn't gone as well as they'd like in recent years, but I think he's a terrific head coach. Would a guy like that put himself into this situation?
Maybe we'll find out. Everything I continue to hear leads me to believe that there will be an Andy Reid-style parting of the ways here in Baltimore. And it's not because anybody's right or anybody's wrong or anybody's good or anybody's bad. You know, I would just take it back to where the Eagles were with Andy Reid, and I mentioned Andy because that's John's mentor. And sometimes things just run its course, right? And they're
right.
Promoting a young GM, and they're probably making a quarterback switch, and they're probably going to cut six to eight of their highest-paid players, and they're just doing things in a different direction. And they may – I mean, they love John, but they may not love the staff, and John may be sick of firing coordinators because, yeah, okay, maybe you don't like my coordinators, but, boy, we don't really draft well anymore either, and we don't really have great personnel, but I'm still keeping us in it until week 17 every year. So you can play it out and see. I mean, he's from that area. He and his brother grew up, you know, Browns and Indians fans. He still has a lot of family in the Midwest. His daughter, I think, will be going to Notre Dame soon on a lacrosse scholarship. That's obviously nearby. He's got a brother in Ann Arbor. It's a historically significant franchise that has way better talent and many more playmakers and quick-twitch elite athletes than his current roster does. It's not even close. So I don't know why you wouldn't hear it out. And then you've got the Andy Reid connection, you know, through Dorsey, the connection to the Andy Reid family. So, I mean, look, I think Green Bay would be an amazing fit for him, assuming he clicks with the young GM there or whatever. I would think the New York Jets would want to talk to him. I would think any of these teams would want to talk to him. Miami and Tampa, I don't know about, you know, ownership there, and they don't have a plan at quarterback. But I really think between the Jets, the Packers, and the Browns, people would be falling all over themselves for John Harbaugh, and rightfully so. He's a hell of a football coach. I think he's that CEO type who just sets a tone. You know, there's not going to be all the BS that's been going on there in years past, and I think he puts people in positions to succeed.
All right, so it's weird because when I think about this Browns job, it's like, is it desirable or is it not desirable?
The process will – look, it's going to come out. It's all going to come out in the wash. You know what I mean? People are – we don't know. I mean, I can't imagine that people are turning them down out of hand for interviews. But as you go through the process and then they want to bring the finalists back, if they do second rounds or whatever, is that when you see people bailing just because they're not comfortable for this reason or that reason or what have you? I don't know. I mean – again, there's a really easy way to make it the most attractive job out there. Or maybe, I mean, look, people are going to want to coach Aaron Rodgers, so maybe the second most attractive. And it is literally to not be a part of the process and to divest yourself. And ownership is always going to have the right to say yay or nay at the end. But if they let the football people be their guide all the way up to that step, and more or less, you know, unless something crazy comes back in a background check, let them do their thing, then the sleeping giant might be awake. But again, we've thought that before. So,
Jason, we always appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Outstanding stuff. We hopefully no Browns news for you this week because of the bye. But
yeah,
you'll find something.
I think we're good.
You think we'll be okay this week?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Jason. Thank you very much. We always appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Thank
you.
Right.
Bye-bye. Make sure you listen and you read Jason all the time. And, of course, he's on CBS Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.